and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The man accused of shooting and killing two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington is now facing murder charges. Yaron Leshinsky was planning to propose to Sarah Milgram next week. Her father, Robert.
She was a peace builder. She has always, since college, she's had a very strong feeling for Israel, and she's also had a very strong desire to figure out and help to broker a peace.
At least three of six people on board a small plane that crashed in a San Diego neighborhood yesterday are confirmed dead. CBS's Carter Evans.
It looks like people are going to be out of their homes for some time here. Right now, this scene is being preserved by the police department and the FAA for the NTSB to come and complete its investigation.
A search is on in Ohio for four inmates who escaped from prison near Columbus last night. WBNS-TV's Kara Lake.
This is a minimum security facility. And when it comes to this facility, this is a prison diversion program for adult male offenders.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a new documentary out about former Packer Brett Favre. Lisa Hale has more.
This week, Netflix released a documentary called The Fall of Favre, which focuses on former Packer quarterback Brett Favre's sex and welfare scandals.
People don't want most of that stuff to come out. People want their heroes.
The documentary, produced by Netflix and sports media company Front Office Sports, features interviews with former New York Jets employee Jen Sturger and former Sports Illustrated writer Peter King, among others. Netflix and Front Office Sports said Favre declined to be interviewed for the documentary. This isn't the first time a Netflix documentary has cast an unflattering light on a Northeast Wisconsin connection. The global streaming and entertainment company also produced Making a Murderer, focusing on the case of Stephen Avery, his nephew Brendan Dassey, and the investigation into the murder of Teresa Halbach in Manitowoc County.
Be safe on the trails this Memorial weekend. Jimmy Cuska has more info.
The DNR is reminding ATV and UTV riders to wear helmets, seatbelts, and follow traffic and route rules this Memorial Day weekend. Last year, 40 people died in ATV or UTV crashes in Wisconsin, most of them with the rider not wearing a helmet. In addition, 150 ATV or UTV crashes happened on roadways in the state last year. The DNR says to follow traffic laws, don't drink or do drugs before or during a ride, and let someone know where you're going and when you'll return.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding to plan ahead if you intend to visit a state park this Memorial Day weekend. You may encounter long lines to get in, limited parking availability, and larger crowds than usual. DNR officials are reminding residents to be patient and courteous with staff and other people enjoying the parks. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers get the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite a 1 hour and 50 minute rain delay, the Brewers held on to beat the Pirates 8-5 last night in Pittsburgh. Christian Yelich, who was 0-15, connected his first time up on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Hits one in the air to left. Back is Pham. Still back at the notch, and it is going to be gone. It's a home run for Christian Yelich. And the Brewers jump out in front 3-0.
Yelich with two home runs, Joey Ortiz with another, Aaron Savalier able to start, and Brewers right-hand pitcher Carlos Rodriguez awarded the win, Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, Carlos deserves a lot, and Savalier gave us 70-some pitches and feels good with some experience. Joey Ortiz, but Yelich with the two homers, that's just so big.
NFL, the Packers wrapping up a week of off-season workouts. On Monday, Jordan Love will be in Milwaukee to throw out the first pitch at the Brewers game. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We have a nice Memorial Day weekend coming up. Lots of sunshine, highs in the upper 50s to near 60 today. Tonight will drop to around 40. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high around 60. Sunday and Monday, sunshine with highs in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. You just came from an OBGYN conference.
They had a lube bar because there are lots of different kinds of personal lubricants that you can use.
When you say lube, do you need that to give birth to a woman?
No, it's for sex. I recommend generally a water-based lube.
Are you writing this down, Conrad?
I cannot speak right now.
Is he blushing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's an all-star pre-recorded cast of guests with WBAY's Emerson Lehman, director Michael Collins, Civic Media's Eliza Cussin, and Terry Barr for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Happy Friday. We've made it to Memorial Day weekend, 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Friday, May 23rd, 2025. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot coming up in just a sec. And your chance to win 4 Brewers tickets to a game next Tuesday by texting us through the Civic Media app. Going to talk to you a bit about that as well. Also, of course, our Week in Review panel coming up with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and a couple of veteran Chicago journalists. So we're going to have to ask about how one Chicago newspaper learned the hard way how not to trust AI fully to write some of your copy. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lierley here about an hour from now. We'll talk a little bit of health news, guarding against preeclampsia, a condition during pregnancy that can lead to high blood pressure and serious impacts to mother and baby. So we'll ask our favorite OBGYN about that. We'll wrap up our second round of interviews with candidates for state Democratic Party chair, with William Garcia joining us as well. So a lot to get to today on a morning that is sunny, but still cool. 7 o'clock temps include 39 here in Chippewa Falls. It's 30 in Hayward, 40 in Amory. Wausau's at 38. It's 40 in Rapids, 44 in La Crosse. Green Bay's at 42. It is Madison's. It is 45 in Madison, where we find Mr. Parker Olson. It's 44 at Radio Park, where we find Mr. Greg Bach. And again, it is back in Wausau, 38 degrees, where Brittany Merlot has this delightfully sunny forecast for our Friday. Ms. Merlot, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
Oh, I'm actually hosting this weekend. I've got the family and friends coming up. I'm excited. We're going to do some kayaking, and we're also going to do some off-roading with the Jeeps. We're going to go to that park that we have here in Tigerton, so that'll be exciting. Otherwise,
Funny that you say that about the Jeep. Let me get to Rob. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. It's sunny and 41. It was 34 degrees at sunrise a couple hours ago. I mowed 6 yards in Tigerton. It was a sweatshirt and hoodie weather. And then he goes on to say that yesterday, while I was mowing at a job near my mechanic Todd's shop, my cousin Donnie's Jeep broke down a block away, and I pulled his Jeep to Todd's shop with my Craftsman lawnmower right in the shop so my riding mower can pull a Jeep. Rob, way to go. Not all heroes wear capes, you know? We talked about Stevie Nicks having a birthday over the weekend here, and you talked about having a childhood crush on Stevie Nicks way back when. And he says, I hope my favorite morning show crew has a great Memorial Day weekend and take time to honor our really true heroes who gave their lives to protect us, protect our rights and our freedoms. I couldn't say it better myself, Rob. Thank you very much for that. So there you go. If you have any problems with the Jeep, you call Rob. He'll come out there with that riding, that Craftsman, and he'll take care of you.
Rob, I'm in Kenosha. Come pick me up, buddy.
He does it all.
Yeah.
He really Kenosha does. Might be a stretch, but then again, given that Craftsman, it just might. So back to the sunshine, but the cool temperatures that we've got for all those activities.
Yeah. So if that's the worst that we have to deal with is crisp, cooler mornings with frost advisories going out up north, I think that's not too terrible. We've got a gorgeous weekend here for the holiday weekend. Beautiful sunshine, a few scattered clouds out there, especially hanging out by Lake Michigan this morning. But otherwise, temperatures, sure, they're crisp. That frost advisory expires at 9 a.m. And then today, we are going to rise to those 60s, low 60s, far west, even into the north. You're going to see some 60-degree temperatures, and then some mid-50s off to the east as well. So we'll get another frosty night tonight, possibly again tomorrow night, but then those temperatures warm up, and we are looking at summer conditions returning by next week. But for this weekend, we've got nothing but sunshine today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. Looks like the rain chances are going to be holding off until late Monday. They don't really widespread push in until Tuesday now. So this is fantastic weather for the weekend. I'm usually used to forecasting some storms to dampen plans.
Yes, cold weather.
Nothing like that.
I like storms to dampen plans. That is amazing turn of phrase.
Yes. I shortened it more with God hates campers. It always feels that way on some of these holiday weekends. It's like, why again? Yeah. Why on these holiday weekends? It's like, is that the only explanation? It's a little chilly yet for a pontoon ride, but the pontoon is in.
Woo-hoo.
What are you crying about?
I want now.
I know. Well, then. Todd Alba, I'm sure, is thinking the same thing, because Todd Alba initially was going to do his show live from my pontoon somewhere in the middle of Lake Wissota.
Dude, I don't even, what are you, you're just, why do you ask for trouble and like poor Aaron Zommers?
But instead, we're going to go with the more stable Wi-Fi connection, and Todd Alba's show today is going to be from Lake Wissota, but out on my back deck. So we've got that with Lake Wissota in the background there. So, Brittany, hope it's a lot of fun for you this weekend, and we'll get an updated forecast in an hour.
Sounds good. You too.
All right. Let's give away some Brewers tickets, or at least we hope to. We've got four tickets that are going to be given away across the Civic Media Radio Network, all the shows statewide. And they're all going to text in a keyword using the Civic Media app. And the keyword is radio. So here's what you do. This is only for one particular Brewers game, and we're going to do this every Friday. This week, it's next Tuesday's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Four tickets. So one entry picked at random from those folks who use the Civic Media app, and text us the keyword radio. Be sure you do that. Be sure that radio is the only thing in the text, R-A-D-I-O. Nothing else that's in there. And be sure as well that you opt into texts from Civic Media as part of it, because then you can get other chances to win as well for things like, you know, signing up for newsletters and things like that. The full contest rules are at civicmedia.us/contest-terms. Go to Civic Media US. You'll be able to find it. Tickets cannot be swapped for different days. And again, for next Tuesday's game, you can be a winner by texting radio to us there. Let's see. Also on online here, Alicia points out, let's remember it is not a weekend for veterans. It's for those who did not make it home. And I think that's sometimes an important distinction to make. And again, there's no, you know, ill intent involved here, but some folks think it's about all veterans. We have Veterans Day for that. We, of course, have the 4th of July, but Memorial Day is much more of a sacred thing. Yes, it's a long weekend where we can all have a little bit of fun and relax, but do take time to thank those men and women whose ultimate sacrifice allows us to have the kind of country that we do. Greg Bach is part of Matt Nair on Air, and that's coming up from 9 to 11 these days, right?
Uh-huh.
And, yep. Who you got coming on today? A familiar face at 10:06. You're going to recombobulate?
Actually, no. Dan is on vacation today, so there will be no. We'll just be discombobulated until next Friday, and
I feel discombobulated throwing that toss at you then. Oh, no, that's shame fine, on me.
Because we have other guests coming up. It's going to be great. We're going to have a fun day. We're going to have Kyle Chisholm from the Madison Mallards. It's a Northwoods baseball team up at, he'll be
love
on the show
the Mallards
talking about this upcoming season, and specifically what they have in the way of, like, you know, fun theme nights, because independent and minor league baseball does it. I mean, don't get me wrong, major league baseball, you're fine at theme nights, but they do it in a way that is just purely like, hey, mom and dad are out of the town for this weekend. We're going to get crazy and weird. So he'll be on at 10:22 today. And then Tyler Moss, who is one of the co-founders and writers at the Milwaukee Record, will be here at 10:30 to talk about everything that's going on, not just this weekend in Milwaukee and the southeastern Wisconsin, but what's happening over the next month or so as we get closer and closer to summer. So that's going to be in our 10 o'clock hour. And then, of course, Pat, what would a day on Matt and Air on Air be without This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:50, where we kind of look at a fun news story and ask the question, does this actually need to be? So, yeah, all that coming up at 9 this morning.
Love Northwoods League baseball, Eau Claire Express. Parker, I'm sure you've been to a game or two from some Northwoods teams.
I'm a camera operator for the Mallards, actually, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've been to a couple Mallards games. Those are great as well. So, yep, a lot of good stuff coming up for baseball. Also coming up today on the Maggie Dawn Show, Terry Barr will be on to talk about what's good and local and overlooked. And then more Terry Barr. It's Barr Band Friday on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. And it says here that she'll be introducing Pete and the listeners to a band that started playing together in high school. They've now graduated, but are still together and doing great. They have new music out and earned a spot at the biggest music festival around, Summerfest. So good on them. And that leads me to this online comment. And I can't vouch for this. I shouldn't necessarily be, reading things blindly. But just in case, Oz puts, my band is at the Thirsty Badger Saturday night. Come and I'll buy you a beer. My cows and I listen every morning. Thanks. So, Oz, wherever the Thirsty Badger is, there's a band playing there. Ask for Oz.
And
he'll buy you a beer.
What's the name of your band? Is it called Wizard of Oz? I mean, that sounds like a fun name for a band.
It probably had some trademark thing. You know, those lawyers, Santel's listening in. You probably can't do something like that. So we'll ask him about it after the break here. In sports, at Major League Baseball, Christian Yelich had two home runs as the Brewers beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 8-5 in a game interrupted by rain for nearly 2 hours last night. For Yelich, it was his 11th multi-homer game of his career. Joey Ortiz added his second home run of the season for the Brewers. The series will continue tonight. It's a four-game series, Game 2, coming up this evening, and you can hear it across some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Paul Skeens, the Pittsburgh ace, versus Freddie Peralta. Although, Paul Skeens is last year he was completely unhittable. Where did this kid come from? And this year, he's kind of fallen back to earth a little bit. So it'll be Paul Skeens versus Freddie Peralta, a true pitcher's duel. Somebody's winning this game 1-0 is probably how this is going to go. 5:05 tonight, so if you love great pitching, and I do, this would be one of those games to expect across the Civic Media Radio Network. The NBA playoffs are going on as well. The only thing we're following is somehow the Minnesota Timberwolves made it to the Western Conference Finals, but they are already down 2-0 against Oklahoma City as that series continues to find out who goes into the NBA Finals. Now, one more thing I wanted to tell you over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. So many stories there, including my latest on the House Republican budget plan that passed yesterday and all of the many ways that big, beautiful bill is not so beautiful for Wisconsin, the real impacts there. Also on the website, everything you wanted to know about brats. Yep, it's all about brats is to kick off the Memorial Day weekend as well. So that and much more coverage over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Our Week in Review panel is coming up next. I get so excited to see them sometimes that I get ahead of myself. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wasota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic... Greg, what did I just do? What did I do?
You said Civic... Wait, what?
What time is it?
I was tossing
a minute early.
But hey guys, let's just get on the pontoon boat and float into the Lake Wasota. We got like more than 50 seconds, Pat. And I also
there we go.
You're good. You're all good, buddy. I thought That's you funny. Said the wrong name of the show or like, called me Steve. I'd be like, what are you doing?
No, as I'm tossing, I'm like, I'm not hearing the music come up. And I'm just like, wait a minute. And right here, this is my first big, ever since I made this post-it note to tell me when the commercial breaks are, I have been practically perfect until now.
It's history. Oh my God.
This segment,
also going to the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. You're welcome. I'd like to thank the Academy. Let me try this again. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network for Reals.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
At Tri-City Services, we're so proud to be celebrating 80 years of trusted service to Central Wisconsin. Since 1945, Tri-City has been the name you can trust to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're offering a limited-time anniversary special. When you purchase a new air conditioner, you'll get $19.45 off a new furnace. Call 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com to schedule your free quote.
We're not comfortable until you are.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. We have your host, James J. Mailoff here. We're joined right now by one of our favorite people, Janelle Weir is with us, agriculture and educator with UW Extension. Janelle, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's nice to be back so quickly.
Yes, we, after kind of going hit and miss with our schedules and all that, it's been really nice to have you back on a consistent basis, especially this time of year. This is a little bit of your wheelhouse this time of year. We're talking about a lot of things that you are really key about. And you brought a great one to us today, soil texture and composting.
Yeah, so when we are thinking about growing plants, it all really begins with the soil. The soil, the health of your soil, understanding your soil texture, that's really the beginning of, you know, whether or not your plants are going to be successful. So I wanted to start off with soil texture, and then we'll move into composting and the benefits of composting.
I'm so sorry. I just right away, I didn't get a chance to look too deep into these, and I kind of like that because I'm with the audience and really on the edge of my seat with a lot of this. But I did get to see this opening part, and this, you already, I always learn when I talk to you. I don't know if it's happened in the first minute before. I don't think I knew this opening thing where you're beginning here with soil. I don't know if I ever really thought much about it. Maybe it's the city boy in me or something, but I just think of soil, think of earth. This is quite interesting to me.
Yeah, so when we're talking about soil, what soil is, it's really just rock that has been weathered down through erosion processes over and over a long period of time. And when that rock, and we've got all sorts of different types of rocks on the Earth, but when they get weathered down to their most basic pieces, they're going to be either a sand particle, It'll be a silt particle or a clay particle. All right. And so when we're thinking about what is soil, soil is a combination of those particles mixed with pore space, and it's P-O-R-E, pore space, right? Now, if you have a perfect soil, and I'm not sure if a perfect soil actually exists, but as imaginary perfect soil would be about 50% of those clay, silt, and sand particles, and then another 50% of pore space, okay?
Okay.
Well, and I'm sorry, 45% rock material, 45, and then 5% organic material. So that's going to be broken down pieces of like leaves or maybe bits of macroorganisms that have died, like earthworms that have died in the soil, things like that. So 5% that, 45% of your rocks, and then the rest is pore spaces, okay? And those pore spaces, that's 50% of the soil. Now, those pore spaces are either going to be filled with air or they're going to be filled with water, right? Now, when you're thinking about soil that's got all really heavy in the sand particles, then you end up with really, really large pore spaces. Large pore spaces tend to get filled up with air. Small pore spaces tend to get filled up with water. So if you've got a really, if you've got a soil that has a really high percentage of clay, you've got really small pore spaces and they tend to fill up with water and stay filled with water, right? Mm. And that's the reason why clay soils are sticky and heavy and sandy soils are, you know, one of the benefits of a sandy soil would be that it drains really nicely, right? Now, either one of those soils, one that's a little bit too heavy with clay or one that's just drains a little bit too nicely with the sand, both of them are going to have some downsides to them. With those sandy soils, you're not going to retain nutrients or moisture very well, right? That moisture retention, we notice if you're if you happen to be in the sandy area, you'll notice in the summertime, you know, we drain so well that we end up to be a little bit on the dry side, more more likely, right?
Yeah.
Those heavy clay soils, because they don't drain well, they tend to be, you know, waterlogged and heavy. And sometimes it's more difficult for plants to really grow in those soils. So, first of all, what are some things that we can do to protect our soils? Even if you're in a sandy soil or a clay soil, you can run the risk of ending up with compaction, right? Compaction probably happens a little bit more easily in a clay soil, but even if you have, if you live in the city, so I think of that as more of an urban soil, and you are a homeowner with, you know, a typical landscape, you're, even if you have really sandy soil, that can get compacted over time too, right? So we really want to do whatever we can to avoid compacted soils. So a couple of things that we can do to kind of protect our soil from being compacted. If we're thinking about our vegetable gardens or our perennial beds, try to keep in mind you want permanent beds and permanent paths. The more that you're walking around in your vegetable beds or your perennial beds, you're compacting that soil. So we really want to avoid avoid doing anything that's going to add to that compaction. Definitely don't want to rush in the spring.
I was wondering about that.
Let everything thaw out completely. Thaw out and drain. I think we're past that point this spring.
That's positive, yeah.
But it's something to think about. People get so excited to get out into their gardens. You know, we got a sunny day in March, and they want to get out in those gardens and start working. And like, oh, let's wait just a little bit. So, where I was talking about those sandy soils or those heavy clay soils, there are things that you can do to help with either one of those problems. And that's where the magic of compost comes in.
Yeah. And this is a something that has been talked about for a long time. Our whole lifetime's composting a lot of this. I love that it's become much more in the lexicon. More and more people are talking about and doing it. But I do like the idea of really taking some time to talk about why people are doing it, the benefits of it and everything, because I don't know that we get to that too much. I think it feels like we kind of skated past that part where, hey, compost is important, okay, but the why part we haven't hit on enough, I think, in a everyday household kind of knowledge.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, you know, I think for a lot of people, if you just have a surface understanding of composting.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
So with Memorial Weekend on the horizon, I'm going to take a guess that some of you might actually be going camping. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. Well, if you're planning on camping near a farm, you might want to take a look at some Wisconsin regulation related to that farm. Sheila Everhart, executive director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, says even innocent farmers that are allowing you to pitch a tent on their land could fall victim to an outdated piece of state legislative law.
Well, we are working on changing legislation that was changed in 2017. Previously, if you had 0 to 3 sites, you did not need a campground license. Farmers are not campgrounds. People who want a farm stay on a farm are a different clientele than those that want to go to a campground. And we are looking at the flexibility and the opportunity for small family farms to be able to generate a little additional revenue stream.
That's Sheila Everhart, executive director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. She says, as it stands right now, under Wisconsin law, farms that have 4 or more campsites, or even those with 1 to 3, if advertised as a campground, fall under the oversight of the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, would require permits as well as inspections.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
And reaction came swift yesterday from farm organizations and commodity groups after the Make America Healthy Again Commission released their report. From the International Dairy Foods Association, they said that they are hoping that the commission develops its strategy to tackle childhood chronic disease and urge the commission to embrace sound science and evidence throughout the process. More to come. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a nice Memorial Day weekend coming up. Lots of sunshine, highs in the upper 50s to near 60 today. Tonight will drop to around 40. Tomorrow, more sunshine with a high around 60. Sunday and Monday, sunshine with highs in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow. Also, Peter Rapine from E-Bombs World talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Checking out some of the texts you're sending in here from Tom in New Berlin. Pat, tomorrow going to place flags at Woods Memorial, honoring our lost heroes at the cemetery there. Thank you, Tom, for doing that. And please represent all of us well as we take a moment to honor those whose sacrifice gave us the freedoms that we still enjoy to this day and must continue to defend, I would add. From Carmela in Milwaukee asking, Pat, what time is the giveaway Brewers game on Tuesday? I should have said that. It is an evening game. 6:40 will be the Brewers versus the Red Sox next Tuesday. And so today's keyword is radio. And folks on this show and across the Civic Media Radio Network, people who use the Civic Media app, text in radio. One of those entries will get 4 free tickets to next Tuesday evening's game versus the Boston Red Sox. Meanwhile, the Brewers tonight are in Pittsburgh. Game 2 of that series coverage starts at 5:05 tonight. Continuing on now with our panel, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel, Jennifer Schulze. Jennifer,
yes?
Let's not spend a lot of time on this one, but let's make it said that the so-called crypto dinner that President Trump had last night, where he hosted all these people who quite literally put money in his pocket and his family's pocket buying his phony crypto coins, even though it was done, even though corruption is done right out in the open, this still may be, from a dollar value, the most corrupt night in American politics. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
And let's guess maybe a quarter of the country knows about it, and yeah, maybe even fewer care. I wish that news organizations, somebody somewhere, would have like a ticker where they are keeping track of all of these payoffs and the money that he's collecting while he's president. It seems to me every day I read about somebody writing him a check. And last night was the check of all checks. It's just incredibly, it's mind-boggling. I'm so speechless.
So Mark, why was American media this week not talking about that nonstop? And why are we talking instead about a book about Joe Biden's health for a guy who's currently, last I checked, not the president of the United States?
Why are we talking about last year's story instead of the gigantic, you know, 5-alarm fire that's going on right in front of us? Good question, Pat. I have no idea. I think that some people view crypto as a little hard to understand. But I mean, this is just, bribery is not hard to understand.
Right.
I mean, a real good example of in the crypto dinner he had last night was this Chinese-born crypto mogul who had he was being investigated by the Securities and Exchange Commission, and his case got put on hold in February, which means it's not canceled, but it's not going forward. He gave a ton of money to Trump to attend this dinner, which means could bribery be any more clear what's going? I mean, it's just appalling, and people need to understand it, and the media need to help them.
Right. But instead, he continues to get away not just with the corruption, but with the illegal activities in office, Jim, which there have been just a flurry of, rulings on that and court hearings. And I mean, could you have possibly picked a better time to have a weekend radio show about legal matters than what you've got right now? What are this week's include? Who the president can fire, not fire? Whether you can get rid of the Department of Education? On and on it goes this week. This week alone.
It is truly breathtaking, and it is difficult. I know all of us suffer from the same problem when you do any broadcast, which is the cutting room floor. And on a regular basis, as we put our broadcast together, you identify 17 things, and you think each one of these is shocking and stunning and needs to be talked about, and you simply don't have enough time, much less breath, to talk about all of them. we've got, again, just this past week, they fall under the category of things that federal district court judges are doing. Yes, indeed, we've got a judge who stopped the Trump administration from dismantling the education department. It's a district judge out of Massachusetts, and likewise says that the record reveals that the defendant's true intention is to dismantle the Department of Education without statutory authority. In other words, there's Congress said you can't do this, and yet we're doing it. That's one path of so many of them that we have seen recently. And each one of them affects human beings. That's the point of this. Affects residents and citizens of our nation. They're all critically important. And we simply don't have enough time in anyone's 24 hours to keep up with all of it.
No, but again, it's important to try, because what we need are courts that consistently say to a president when they cross a certain line, you can't do that, whether it's deporting people without due process, or in the case of Harvard now saying Harvard can no longer accept international students. Yeah, they can. You can't do that as president. But of course, it gums up the works until you can get a court to say otherwise. There was also a ruling with the Supreme Court, an interesting 4-4 split decision. Yes. That the gist of it is that Oklahoma cannot receive or give state funding to a Catholic religious virtual school. Again, a case of you can't do that. But folks noticed that conservative Justice Amy Coney Barrett recused herself from that case.
Right. And she made that decision. Good for her. Take note, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito, that there are those circumstances where maybe for an appearance of impropriety reason, you shouldn't be deciding these cases because you've got some affiliation with the parties. Here she has some affiliation with some of the litigants in front of her, maybe based upon her time at Notre Dame, advisor to the school, that sort of thing. Good for her to do that, but it does result in this 4-4 split. And what that means is, in the end, the lower court decision, which said, no, if you're a religious charter school, you can't get government funds. This is basic separation of church and state. Congress will make no law establishing a religion, nor can the states. So it's an affirmation, just by virtue of the default here, that the Constitution means something. The side story in all this is, who is the other person? Again, this is another one of these unsigned orders. The speculation is, it's mine as well, that it may have been the Chief Justice, which would be stunning, because he has been leading this effort to try to basically erase the separation between church and state, talking about discrimination against religion as opposed to entanglements of government and religion. The upshot is that this case, again, for today is over, and we've got a strong affirmation of that separation. But it's going to come back in one shape or another, maybe in a term or two. We're not done with religious issues before the Supreme Court.
Let's switch gears, Mark, and talk about Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. and this alleged examination into chronic diseases. And again, we have a sense of the quackery that he is going to try to put out. So let's look at it through the prism of whether American media simply regurgitates it, plays stenographer, or gives it a more critical eye.
Yeah. The initial New York Times headline on this was, you know, Trump and RFK Jr. talk about the sickest generation in American history, you know, that the kids are all sick today and all this. And I thought, well, you know, really? I mean, is that based on anything? And I went back and looked at child mortality rates, you know, and in 1800, 46% of children didn't make it to their fifth birthday. It was 23 or 24% in 1900. It's under 1% now. So what is he talking about? I mean, this is one of those things where, you know, it sounds good. And you know, the interesting thing is the New York Times rewrote their headline eventually. They finally came up with the realization that this sickest generation in American history thing was just not true. And so it's, finally, the New York Times decided not to put it in the headline, which is, you know, a real problem where, you know, the Trump people say something and the media just kind of go ahead and just swallow it whole and regurgitate it.
Well, and Jennifer, same to you, the critical eye that let's bring it to the local media level as well, that It used to be, if a president or a Health and Human Services secretary said something, you could pretty well provide attribution and say HHS secretary says such and such, but you really can't do that one degree of reporting anymore. You really have to put a filter on it.
Well, you
and say
should.
It's what they're saying true.
Right. And you'd think that everybody would get that this is an issue. I mean, come on. We're in the second Trump administration. We know how much he lies, but I am still astounded, like Mark was yesterday with that New York Times headline, how frequently it still happens that there is no fact-checking and context in these headlines, and they just immediately splash out, Trump says, Kennedy says, and it would take you 30 seconds to know that what they're saying is not true. You could write that in your headline. Why is that not the automatic reaction to any of this news coverage? I do not understand. Is it because they're trying to do it so fast? I don't think so. But I don't know why. It's terrible, whatever the reason. It's terrible.
Well, there's a lot of... I don't know if laziness is the right idea or the right word, not just for reporting, but Mark, also for politicians. You have a Republican Party that has always talked about they're deficit hawks. It's all about fiscal discipline. And the thing that they passed yesterday morning, you know, the $1 trillion in cuts, but we want to give away so much in tax relief, we're going to add $3 to $4 trillion to the deficit. Where is the howling other than from maybe two or three members of the House and two or three members of the Senate? I mean, they're throwing 40 years of Republican orthodoxy out the window.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, for decades, you've heard, you know, tax and spend Democrats, you know. Well, these are spend Republicans. I mean, they don't tax rich people, you know, but they're happy to spend the money that they didn't take in. And in the first Trump administration, this was him boasting about having the best economy ever and all that crap. And it was a pretty fairly decent economy for the first part of his term. Yet they still ran a gigantic deficit. You know, a quarter of the public debt was created by Trump in the first term. And now they're doing it some more. I mean, it's and when is the public and when will the media just throw away the notion that the Republican Party wants to balance the budget? They obviously don't. They don't care about that. They just care about rewarding their rich donors, really, and sticking it to the poor.
Right. And that gets us into messaging that Democrats have to do. And that's fine. That's their battle. But I would like to at least see reporters, you know, and newsrooms making sure that there's this distinction between the rhetoric and the reality. Time for one last thing. And Jim, I'll come to you on it. This latest Supreme Court case on the schools and others is continuing a troubling trend of coming through something called the shadow docket rather than the traditional way of issuing opinions. What is it and why is it concerning?
It's a huge problem. It's a challenge for Americans who now have a Supreme Court that at breakneck speed is issuing decisions about major issues, and they're not giving you the reasons why. And it's a part of this shadow docket. Yes, it's the emergency docket. The notion is it's begun principally in Trump 1. It's always been out there, but really revved up. This notion that we can't possibly live another day with an unfavorable ruling at the lower level. Step in, Supreme Court, overturn that, tell them they're wrong, and we can get on with our lives. And when you do that, you lose all of the debate, you lose the oral argument, you lose the lawyers, and the American public loses because you don't know why a major branch of government is making decisions without clarity and without transparency.
All right, you can get more of that on Amicus Law Review live Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on Civic Media stations around Wisconsin. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Mark Jacobs' newsletter is at stopthepresses.news, and Jennifer Schulze's Indistinct Chatter is at Substack. Look up at News Jennifer for that. Panel, it's so great to be back. You guys make it so fun. I actually wanted to come back from vacation for you guys. I mean, to a point.
Right.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right. Dan Schumacher is going to look at sports after this. We'll be back.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winterfield. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Ohio State, and more. From the first touchdown to the fifth quarter, game days in Madison are packed with excitement, tradition, and unforgettable memories. Seats and tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot and make sure you don't miss a moment of the action next season. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS to secure your seat today. Wisconsin football game day starts here, and we'll see you at Camp Randall.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
In this month's edition of Masters of Mystery, a forensic psychologist who turns real-life experiences investigating crimes into chilling novels, and a grandmother who writes about gangsters, will join host Rob Young. Tune in to WFHR Sunday at 9 p.m. as true crime writer Frank Weber and gangster writer Betty Brandt Pasek talk about their experiences and perhaps divulge the secrets behind their devious plots.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Janelle, now that we're kind of understand a little bit more of the importance, the purpose, what it can do and everything, I want to get into the idea of making compost, the compost materials and everything, because that's the other part of this that I thought was interesting. And I just wanted to pull up on the Wisconsin Rapids City website. I know that they, spring compost update they have over there, if you want to check that out, everybody, because we were talking a little bit in our pregame, this word compost, composting, some of these things have just been, I've been hearing so much about it in the last couple of weeks. And the other part of the under this was hearing people say, well, I can make my own compost, or I'd like to make my own compost and some of that. So it's kind of cool to see this topic where it is right now, where it's not uncommon to hear people talking about these things and the importance of them. So as far as making your own compost and getting into the materials of it, what do you got for us there?
Yeah, so composting is not difficult. It really, really isn't.
Oh, thank goodness.
So one of the things to keep in mind is the greater the variety of things that you're adding to your compost, the greater the different types of microorganisms are that will be participating in the processing down your broccoli ends or your leftover leaves into a nice, rich material that will be high in nutrients that the plants will be able to utilize easily. So when you're composting, you want to have a ratio of three parts browned materials or carbon-rich materials to one part green. And the greens are going to be high in nitrogen, okay? So you'll either hear, you know, brown materials to green materials, or you'll hear carbon materials to nitrogen materials, okay? So how do you know which is which? Well, the way I kind of think about it is anything that's fresh and juicy, those are going to be higher in a nitrogen content. And so those are going to be things that we're going to keep in that green category, okay? Those are the things like I mentioned, you know, your vegetable leftovers from, and when I say leftovers, I mean the debris, the stuff that you're using inside the kitchen before you cook, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll get to things that have been cooked in a minute, but here I'm talking about just kind of that leftover vegetable pieces that you're not cooking, that type of stuff. You can't always rely on color, though. If you're thinking about adding coffee grounds to your compost pile, which is a super cool idea, keep in mind, even though they're brown, they're high in nitrogen. Okay?
I was wondering.
Yeah, so really kind of rely on, is it juicy or is it dry, right? If it's dry, it's probably going to be something that's rich in carbon. And so those carbon-rich materials are going to be things like shredded newspaper. It could be dried leaves from last year. In fact, that's one of my favorite things to do is I save a couple garbage bags of dry leaves from the previous fall. I keep them next to my compost bin.
Great idea.
And then as I'm adding green materials, I'll add some brown, you know, I'll add my leaves as a brown material. If you don't have leaves though, shredded newspaper would work just fine for you. Something else to keep in mind is things that are of animal origin tend to be higher in nitrogen. So all that, and this kind of gets back to not necessarily has to be green in color. This could be things like if you're adding manure, and it needs to be an herbivore manure, okay? No omnivore manures, right? But if you've got chickens or rabbits and you want to add their manure to your compost bin, go right ahead. Blood meal, feathers, all of that type of stuff would be considered greens, okay?
What about drier type materials, like woodier materials and stuff?
Yeah, all of those are going to be higher in the carbon content. So those would be the things that you would be thinking about those as your browns.
You mentioned coffee grounds earlier, and I know for me and my mom, when we were first getting into this topic, it feels like in the 80s or something, that was one of the first things that I feel like was brought up. I don't know if it actually came from a reputable source. It just felt like one of those things like, oh, yeah, that's something you can use for composting. So I really appreciate you bringing that one up in particular. But are there others that we should be precautious about?
Yeah. So in this category, I think of this category as the but we want to think about it.
I want that as a title. Next time you're putting notes together, yes.
First one, cardboard and corn cobs. You know, so some real recent research has come out, and my opinions on cardboard are a little bit more reserved. They used to recommend using cardboard, but the idea here, and with corn cobs, the idea here is you just need to really cut them down quite a bit if you use them in large pieces. If you use the cardboard in large pieces or the corn cobs whole, they're going to take forever and a day to decompose, right?
Okay.
So you want to chop that stuff up. However, I did recently read a journal article that talked about the presence of PFAS in cardboard. And so here I have a little bit more hesitation in using cardboard and any sort of gardening capacity where it becomes broken down in the soil. So also as a weed barrier inside the garden too. I used to like the idea of like a thin cardboard, like cereal boxes. I've used those in the past in my raised beds. They worked fantastic, broke down nicely. I have some reservations now. The literature, just the research hasn't gotten far enough to say, you know, hey, this is going to make an impact in your soil or not. But there was a suggestion that it may. And so on now, I would say, you know, maybe we could use something besides cardboard.
The whole point of this is to help and to help the earth, help your garden, all these things. Anything that can mess with that, I don't think it's even worth really taking the risk. Just my opinion, just my thought on it and everything. But I also want to note that I see where people are going with this, and I love the heart of it. I got all this cardboard. What do I got all these Amazon boxes or whatever? What do I do with them and stuff? And I want to do some good. I want to do something good with it, which is where a lot of this stems from. I'm sorry, I don't know this off the top of my head, but maybe where composting began is the idea of, hey, I've got all this extra stuff. Instead of just throwing it away, what can I do good with it? How can I repurpose it? So much of this stems from that. So I think that's really cool that people want to do that with these things.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The president shocks the markets, posting on social media last hour he'll slap a 25% tariff on iPhones if Apple doesn't move manufacturing to the U.S. Mr. Trump broached the subject last week in Qatar.
We've treated you really good. We put up with all the plants that you built in China for years. India can take care of themselves. They're doing very well. We want you to build here.
He's also threatening 50% tariffs on imports from the EU. Dow futures down 606 right now. We're learning the small plane crash in a residential neighborhood of San Diego yesterday. CBS's Carter Evans.
We understand the plane may have clipped a power transmission line on the way down before it hit the ground here and then skidded down the street, leaking fuel and creating essentially a streak of fire.
At least three of the six people on board were killed. The suspect in the shooting deaths of two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington has now been charged with murder. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.